I think this just continues a trend that the safety board has historically been focused on, and it's in our mandate, really, the prevention of accidents. What we're doing is we're investigating accidents to try to learn from them to prevent injuries and fatalities from occurring in the future. And so we've been very consistent over our 40-plus year history that really what we want to focus on is reducing those fatalities and injuries. And I think this is just continues to be a logical extension of that.
So does this end up being a mindset change, or how does it appear in reality?
Well, you know, the safety board obviously has a mandate to investigate all fatal aviation accidents, but we also have the authority to investigate other accidents and incidents as they occur. We've long had reporting requirements for things like engine uncontainment. So if you have an engine that actually explodes out of its casing, things like runway incursions, where planes actually get very close to colliding with each other, but they don't may not actually have a fatal accident,
right.
The safety board would still be involved in investigating those. And so really what this is more just conveying to the public our interest in looking at incidents and events that we can learn from so that we could prevent accidents in the future.
And so does this change the kind of data collection? Because I imagine typically you wouldn't collect that kind of data. Are you now looking to collect that kind of data?
Well, I'd say over the course of our history, we have collected different types of information, or at least been notified about certain events. The safety board is probably not going to be collecting a lot of additional data and storing that somewhere, but we will be looking for notifications on different events. And one of the things that has changed is certainly technology and how dependent we are on technology in all walks of life, but certainly in transportation. And within the last year, we've had to revise some of the things that we do, because we have, instead of having all manned vehicles, we have some unmanned aerial vehicles that are operating in our nation's airspace. These are drones that are controlled by the from kind of a remote facility on the ground.
Right.
So those are obviously of interest.
And I know they're big using them along the border for immigration issues.
They have. They've been using them for a number of years, Customs and Border Protection, and we actually investigated an event a few years ago where one of these unmanned systems actually lost its communication link and came down in a fairly rural area, but still something of interest. And so whether it's technology on the aircraft that tries to keep airplanes apart, this technology is referred to as TCAS. It helps airplanes to avoid each other if they're both equipped, and telling one to climb and one to descend to keep them apart. We want to know when there are alerts that get triggered like that, and so we've asked for some reporting on those. Now, we don't investigate every accident where there's an alert, but what we want to do is, if you think about accidents and accident investigation incidents being like a pyramid, the fatal accidents are really at the tip of that pyramid, but you're going to have a lot of events that actually are close calls underneath that, and that's what we want to learn from. It's too late once you've already had a collision, once you've had a runway incursion or trains collide with each other. We want to look at things that we can learn from before those serious events happen.
And as you move down that pyramid, there are a couple issues. One is people sometimes are reluctant to share those kinds of things because they go, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get in trouble for that and going to be fined, or all those kinds of things. Or it's going to get in the press and then I'm going to become. But also, how do you, when you cull lessons, how do you get that out to folks as efficiently as possible?
Well, I'd say there's good news and there's good news on those questions. The first part is that the safety board is not an enforcement agency. We're an investigative organization, and we don't have any power to fine people or to promulgate regulations or anything like that. So we're really looking at things from a very objective position and trying to figure out what happened to prevent something like that from happening again. And the second part of your question was, how do we get information out to people? The safety board is a very transparent organization, and we pretty much share everything that we have on our website. Our dockets are open. Our accident investigation reports are all published. And if we find that there's a safety issue or a concern, we issue recommendations.
I mean, almost immediately.
We do. And yesterday, we just issued a round of recommendations on the San Bruno pipeline accident that took place in California and had a number of fatalities.
Yeah.
So we are not yet complete with our investigative activities, but we did find some areas of concern, and so we got that out immediately, not just to the pipeline operator in California, but to also to the federal regulators so they can get that information out to all pipeline companies across the country.
We're talking to Deborah Hirschman. She is the chairwoman of the National Transportation Safety Board. This change in how do you get folks in your organization to think in this new way, to think in this prevention role?
You know, there really isn't any problem getting employees at the safety board to think about prevention, because this is what they do. They are passionate about their work. They embrace any opportunity to look at things that could prevent accidents from occurring in the future. And in fact, that's really what drives them. That's what their mission is. And I think that they all have a lot of job satisfaction because they believe that what they do is important. And you know, frankly, they are the horses that are raring to go. You know, I had one investigator said, "I'm just an old fire horse, and when I hear the bell, I'm ready to run." And so I don't have to do anything really to motivate the people who work here. They are professionals and dedicated to what they do.
And so does this prevention role change the way you carry out your business at all?
You know, I think it changes the way that we carry out our business, in that we really are looking at more precursor information. We're having to get a little bit better at looking into maybe the crystal ball to use the data to tell us in which areas there is really the most meat and the most focus for us. You know, when you're an inbox-driven organization, you have an accident, and you go investigate it.
Yeah.
We're trying to move to being an organization that is anticipating some of the areas of problem before they result in that accident that takes, you know, 10, 50, 100 lives.
And it seems like just opening this up to in a larger, to collect data on a you know, people who may see things, all of a sudden you're able to tap folks who may have said, "Hey, I was on a plane and that kind of worried me," and you guys can make sense of it in some kind of way. All of a sudden you're able to put pieces together, I guess connect those dots, which is everybody's challenge.
Well, and it's incredibly helpful when you think about looking at events that actually don't result in fatalities, because one of the most important things we can do is actually interview the people that were involved, the crew members, you know, the pilots, the locomotive engineers, whoever they are, because they're going to be able to tell us what their thought process was, what, you know, decisions that they made. And, you know, if there's human error involved, as there is in many times in our investigations, it's much more helpful for us to be able to talk to the people involved to find out you know, what was going on and understand the procedures and the policies that they're operating under and that they're familiar with. When we have a fatal accident, you don't get to talk to those crew members, and that's a tremendous loss for us. Sometimes
yeah.
we might have recorders, cockpit voice recorders or other things that can help us reconstruct the events, but there's a lot more learning that can be done if you talk to the people that were involved.
And will folks who watch the NTSB, will they see a difference in this as you push this prevention role?
You know, I don't think too many people are going to see a change in what we do. I think it's really just about making safety incrementally more and more safe. And I am sorry, making transportation more and more safe by what we do. And, you know, there's big gains that have been made over our 40-plus year history, and now those gains are a little bit more challenging. But I think another thing that's very important is, in order sometimes for the regulatory agencies to justify the cost of making some of the changes, you have to have good data to demonstrate that
yeah.
those changes are worthwhile, that it wasn't just one accident where this was an issue, but it was one accident and 100 occurrences that actually resulted in, you know, this change that's going to improve safety for everyone.
And one last question, and then I'll let you go, because the NTSB, and we talked to you last year after the Metro accident here in Washington, but you're not a very large organization, and I forget what the exact number is, but it shocked me.
Well, we have less than 400
yeah.
full-time employees, and we investigate accidents in aviation, rail, highways, pipelines, maritime, hazardous materials, transportation, and we've got
just every time you see an accident, you see NTSB there, and you think, oh, "Wow, this must be a large organization." It's not.
No, it's not. We're small, but mighty. So I think the taxpayers definitely get their money's worth out of our investigations.